From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. There are many ways to enjoy the great outdoors in Maryland, from mountains to ocean, from forest to stream. Our guest today is dedicated to helping enthusiasts discover new adventures and learn more about the geography, flora, and fauna that await. Biologist and naturalist Brian McKay walks us through his three new guidebooks, Cycle Maryland, Hike Maryland, and Paddle Maryland. Whether you're novice or seasoned, McKay urges you to get out in the open.
The full dome of the sky is overhead. You get to experience the area in a way that you really cannot in a car. It's a completely different experience that utilizes all of your five senses.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. There are many ways to enjoy the great outdoors in Maryland, from mountains to ocean, from the forest to stream. Our guest today wants to help enthusiasts, whether novice or seasoned, to discover new adventures and learn more about the geography, flora, and fauna that await. Brian McKay is Senior Lecturer Emeritus in the Department of Biological Sciences at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. He has taught field biology and ecology and for decades conducted field trips for students, adults, and children. He's the author of three new guidebooks, Cycle Maryland, Hike Maryland, and Paddle Maryland, all published by Johns Hopkins University Press. He's here to walk us through them. Welcome to On the Record, Brian.
Thank you, Sheila. I'm happy to be here.
There are lots of guidebooks for Maryland. What made you decide to write these guides now?
I had been going around the state and looking at the state's ecology for a number of years, specifically when I was teaching field biology of Maryland for the university. And after that, a lot of friends would come up to me and ask me, well, where can I go to go cycling? Or where can I go to take out the kayaks? And I sort of assembled all that information into these guidebooks. And I was also interested, though, in telling people what they might see in terms of nature when they were there. So there are lots of guidebooks out there on the market. What makes mine unique, I believe, is the information about nature that you might see when you go along on these various trips.
How did you choose what to include in each book?
I felt like I was choosing the best places to go, the places that I've enjoyed the most, the places that have a unique ecology, for example, or have interesting plants or animals that you might see. Those were my primary criteria.
What is a good hiking trail for a beginner that you would recommend?
In the Baltimore metro area, probably my favorite hiking trail is suitable for people of all ages, including families. And that would be Soldier's Delight Natural Environmental Area. It's near Owings Mills. A surprising number of Baltimore folks have actually never been there. But it is probably the most unique natural area in the Mid-Atlantic states. You can go there and find license plates from five or six states in the parking lot. It's that well known among naturalists and scientists.
What makes it unique?
It is what's called a serpentine barrens. And what makes it unique is the geology that underlies it, a small area of about 2,000 acres or so in western Baltimore County. And that geology leads to interesting plants that can grow only on the soils that come from that particular kind of rock. So these are called endemic plants. About 39 species of them are on the Maryland Rare, Threatened, or Endangered Species list. You have to know what you're looking for, but there's a good nature center there, which if you go there first, you'll be primed to look for whatever plants happen to be in bloom that day.
And it's called Soldier's Delight. Why?
There are lots of reasons that have been proposed for it, but it's more prosaic. Back in the 1700s, people thought that they may need to market a a plot of land so that settlers would come and buy land. And so they gave them interesting names. So there's Soldier's Delight. You've probably heard of Ridgely's Delight. They all tend to have very attractive names.
It sounds like this one is well-deserved.
It is, although if you look at it, it doesn't look like any other spot in Maryland. It looks barren. It doesn't look attractive, but it is if you know what you're looking for, if you're interested in plants.
So that's your recommendation for a good hiking trail for beginners. What about biking for beginners?
I really like the Northern Central Rail Trail, which runs from Baltimore County and around the Towson area and goes due north, ending at the Pennsylvania line. It also continues into Pennsylvania for another 20 miles as well. So you can get 40 miles one way of cycling, and then you have to come back, which makes a total of 80 miles. Few people do that. You can choose any sized chunk that you like, and it's just a lovely trail. It's a converted rail trail. That is, it was once the Northern Central Railroad. That went out of business. The state bought the land in the 1980s, and the bed of the trail is crushed limestone. It's not paved, but it's suitable for any kind of bike and passes through some beautiful Maryland scenery.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with biologist, naturalist, and author Brian McKay about his new guidebooks for hiking, cycling, and paddling through Maryland. And so that's what I want to ask you. What's a good paddle route for someone who's not real seasoned?
In the Baltimore metro area, the one I recommend is what I call the Gunpowder Delta. It's on the east side of Baltimore. It's where the Gunpowder Rivers, both the big and the little, flow into the Chesapeake Bay. And it forms it's a freshwater marsh. It forms a labyrinth of paddling trails that you can take. You can get up into some really narrow marshes that are maybe only 3 or 4 feet wide as your canoe or kayak, and be there amongst all of the bugs and plants and cool things that you find in a freshwater marsh. There are birds, there are eagles, and it's all in an area of Maryland that really is quite developed, but you can feel like you're miles from anywhere when you're out in the Gunpowder Delta.
There's a big difference between kayaking and canoeing. Do you recommend one over the other for beginners?
Kayaks, recreational kayaks now are very popular. They first appeared on the market probably in the 1990s, and the market for them has exploded. They're very beginner-friendly. You can just get in them and start paddling, and you'll have very few problems. So that's probably what I would recommend. Canoes take a little bit of experience, and you really need to have a little bit of instruction, spend some time in the canoe before you're ready to go out on windy lakes, for example, or on rivers that flow.
So I have been asking you about good trails for beginners. You're not a beginner yourself. What are some of your personal favorite spots to go?
Oh, boy. For hiking, I love Soldier's Delight, but further afield, a really great place to go right about now is the CNO Canal National Historical Park. That runs from Washington, D.C. to Cumberland, Maryland. It's 184 miles. And there are lovely wildflowers in April along there, especially in the region near Great Falls, Montgomery County. So I really recommend you go there and see the displays of acres and acres of bluebells. A great place to go at this time of year. For cycling, if you want to go a little farther afield, a great place to go is called the Great Allegheny Passage, and that is near Cumberland, Maryland. It's interesting because what you can do is get on the train there. It's the Western Maryland Railroad. They will take your bicycle in the baggage car. You can ride in comfort as you go from Cumberland to Frostburg. At Frostburg, you unload your bikes, and you can ride as far north as you care to. Many people go to the Maryland line. Turn around, and from there, it is all downhill to Cumberland.
That seems like cheating.
But it's especially beautiful at fall color. So the first 2 to 3 weeks in October are really prime. Any other time of the year is wonderful, but especially during prime fall color. As far as paddling goes, probably my favorite place to go that's a little farther afield is the Pocomoke River area around the town of Snow Hill, Maryland. That's about a half an hour outside of Ocean City. It's nice because there are four different rivers right in one area, so you can stay at a nearby hotel or campground and canoe one river each day. They're all a little bit different. They're similar in some ways. You can see great wildlife. There's not a lot of traffic of other canoes or kayaks on the river, and a lovely place to go, especially in springtime. The month of May is wonderful. The month of October is wonderful, too. The summer is terrific as well. It's different, but terrific.
Are there groups people can join if they're not ready to go it alone?
Yes, there certainly are. If you're interested in hiking, probably the two most popular groups to go with are the Sierra Club, Greater Baltimore Group, and also the Mountain Club of Maryland is another choice. There are always meetup groups. Meetup groups are very popular now, and there are a number of them that are dedicated to hiking in the area. As far as cycling goes, the Baltimore Bicycling Club is one possibility, and meetup groups as well is another. As far as paddling goes, the Baltimore Canoe and Kayak Club is very beginner-friendly. They are oriented more toward river paddling with whitewater. If that's your interest, these are the people to go see. They will teach you how to do it, they'll be very helpful, and they'll do so in a very safe way.
Time for a quick break here. We're talking this morning with Brian McKay about three new guidebooks he's written that can help people find adventures in hiking, cycling, and paddling in Maryland.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about the natural gems offered here in the state of Maryland. With us is Brian McKay, author of three new guidebooks for hiking, cycling, and paddling throughout the state. The table of contents for each book lists sidebar snippets of naturalist information in addition to information about recreation locations. Why did you include those?
Well, I'm a scientist, and I taught biology for 34 years, and I've often found that when I'm out in the field, people are always asking me, what is this? Why is this here? And so I decided to put a sidebar in with each chapter, and that sidebar might have information about a plant you'd see on that particular trip, an animal you might run across, some aspect of science that might relate to the area you're in, something like that, and I feel that it enriches the book.
What are some of your favorite or surprising anecdotes from the sidebars?
Well, here's one. If you're a cyclist or a hiker, you may come in the fall across these round greenish fruits that look like about the size of a softball. And these fruits come from a tree known as the Osage orange. And it's typically found, it was used in colonial times and post-colonial times to form hedgerows. So it's planted everywhere. All you have to do is cut off a stick of it, plant it in the ground, and it will form a tree. But it forms these fruits about the size of softballs. And what's interesting about these fruits is that nothing eats them. I mean, animals always eat fruits that are out there in the environment. But nothing eats these. And nobody understood why. A couple of years ago, it was proposed in the scientific literature that these fruits were actually eaten and the seeds then dispersed by mastodons and mammoths 10 to 12,000 years ago.
My goodness.
Those animals, of course, are extinct now, but the proposal is that they were actually the animal that ate them and then would disperse the seeds. So there's no way to test that as an experiment, but it's a really interesting idea.
The sidebar, I think, that caught my interest most goes back much further, 35.5 million years, the creation the event that led to the creation of the Chesapeake Bay.
Yeah. About 35 million years ago, there was an asteroid or a comet that impacted the Chesapeake region. It's called a bolide, a generic term for either an asteroid or a comet. And it impacted the lower Chesapeake Bay, sort of in the area where the Chesapeake Bay now runs into the Atlantic Ocean. The impact was tremendous. This is the largest known bolide impact site in the United States and the sixth largest in the world. So it was a major cataclysmic event. It tossed up tremendous amounts of sediment and water into the atmosphere. It also created a tsunami that was thought to be about 1,500 feet high and continued washing across the coastal plain until it finally impacted the Blue Ridge Mountains, quite a ways away from where the mouth of the Chesapeake Bay is. That created a impact. It went 5 miles into the earth. It created quite a crater. And thereafter, the sediments that surrounded it kind of slumped into the hole, into the crater created by the bolide. And so even today, it has that event 35 million years ago has created things that echo down over those millennia. For example, the area around Hampton Roads has experienced 4 earthquakes in the last 25 years or so that are thought to be related to faults created by this crater. In addition, sediments still continue to slump into the crater from around the Chesapeake Bay, and it's thought that some of the land subsidence that occurs in places like Dorchester County, Maryland, is due to these sediments moving toward the crater. Now, the crater is 5 miles underground. It's been covered by sediments for millennia, but it still creates effects on our geology.
That's biologist, naturalist, and author Brian McKay here on the record on WIPR. We're talking about his new guidebooks for hiking, biking, and paddling throughout Maryland. You have been quoted saying Maryland is a perfect habitat for a naturalist. Why?
It really is. There's a lot going on in a small state. Let's face it, we are not exceedingly large, but from a house where you might live in the Baltimore or Washington metro area, you can reach the borders of the state in 3 hours of driving. And the habitats that you encounter are quite different. Ocean City, Assateague Island are right along the coast, and they have some fascinating and unique habitats there, including some really interesting animals and plants. You can go 3 hours in the other direction and climb up out of where we live, an area known as the Piedmont, climb up into the mountains onto the Allegheny Plateau. In Garrett County, Maryland, the most westernmost county, you're at over 3,000 feet. And the kinds of plants and animals that grow there are found only there. And it's a fascinating area.
You know, the drive alone to some of the places in your books can be breathtaking in and of itself. Why is it worth the extra effort to hike, bike, or paddle instead of driving?
You really need to get out. You really need to experience the natural environment. For example, if you were to go to Blackwater National Wildlife Refuge on Maryland's eastern shore, lots of people do. They go there to see the birds. It's a wonderful place to go birding, a great deal of different kind of species. But it's a different experience if you go there and cycle it instead of staying in your car. So as you cycle along, and cycling is permitted here, the full dome of the sky is overhead. You get to experience the area in a way that you really cannot in a car. You get to hear the sounds of birds, especially in autumn and into winter, the sound of geese. In the summer, you might hear bald eagles or great blue herons calling. And it's a completely different experience that utilizes all of your five senses, not just that of sight.
And in addition to that, it's healthy too. I really appreciate your telling us about your books.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Brian McKay is Senior Lecturer Emeritus in the Department of Biological Sciences at UMBC. He's published three new books about hiking, cycling, and paddling in Maryland. He'll be speaking about them a week from today, March 29th, at Bird in Hand on 33rd Street in Baltimore, and on Wednesday, April 11th, at the Irvine Nature Center in Owings Mills. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we have linked to more information.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.